And we have with us on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I'm fine.
Wonderful.
So, Parshat Vayera.
Parshat Vayera is a beautiful parsha. And it means a lot to me because it happens to me like be my bar mitzvah parsha.
Oh.
So I remember when I was doing it, the haftarah was so long. And, you know, as a 13-year-old child, you look at it and you say, shoosh. But we went through it. We managed.
Yeah.
But we've seen this restore portion, how God revealed himself to Abraham 3 days after the first Jew's circumcision, which he was at the age of 99. And Abraham rushes off to prepare a meal for 3 guests who appear in the desert heat. And one of the three, each of the three guests had their specific roles. One of the three who were angels, but they were really disguised as men, announces that in exactly 1 year, the barren Sarah, his wife, who was not able to have any kids, will give birth to a son. And obviously, Sarah laughs. And as we see later on in the Torah portion, Abraham pleads with God to spare the wicked city of Sodom.
Yeah.
And two of the three disguised angels arrive in the doomed city where Abram's nephew Lot extended his hospitality to them and protect them from the evil intentions of the Sodomite mob. And the two guests reveal that they have come to overturn the place and to save Lot and his family. And one of the conditions that they told Lot's wife is when you're going out, do not look back, because if you do look back, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. And obviously she disobeyed the command. The temptation was too strong there, and she did look back at the burning city. We also see in continuing of this week's Torah portion, God remembers his promise to Sarah, and he gives her and Abraham a son, who is named Isaac, Yitzchak, meaning will last. And Yitzchak is circumcised at the age of 8 days, and Abram is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old at the child's birth. And as it finishes off in the end of the sixth Torah portion, that God tests Abraham's devotion by commanding him to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And Isaac is bound and placed on the altar. Now, you think about it, it's so irrational, so not logical, that Abraham, his whole life, is now in Isaac, and this is what he has to do. He has to go and sacrifice his only son, his only link, you know, to the next generation. And, you know, if you think about it, if you would have people that would follow Abraham's life, a journalist, sports writer, they would have no doubt dubbed him as, you know, Mr. Self-Sacrifice. Because we see, if you look at the story of Abraham, as a young man, he spent 10 years in a dungeon for his religious belief. Later, he was thrown into a blazing furnace for his public refusal to bow down to the idolatrous king.
Yeah.
He then dedicated his life to helping others. And though he was very rich, enough to live in an upscale oasis, he chose instead to make his home in a simple desert tent, providing the needy with food, shade, and spiritual guidance. But it wasn't, if you think about it, until the binding of Isaac that Abraham's faithfulness could truly be measured. We find that God actually begged Abraham, please, pass this test. And Abraham was given 10 tests, and this one was the last test, the binding of Isaac. And God tells him, please pass the test, lest all you've done till now be for nothing. So sometimes, self-sacrifice is not as selfless as it's cracked up to be. But in fact, it can be as profit-driven as a good business decision. Whether the perceived gain is eternal bliss or political propaganda, a famous death can look better than an obscure life. You know, you see that in real life even today. The profit outweighs the loss. And, you know, in the self-sacrifice business, however, the binding of Isaac was for Avram a terrible investment. All of his eggs were in Isaac's basket.
Yeah.
Avram's mission was to spread goodness in the world, and Isaac was the only one capable of spreading that goodness to the next generation. Because we see Avram dreamed of fathering a holy nation, and Isaac was the one through whom that nation was meant to come. So, if you look at this story, we see that this was a balance sheet that was only losses for Abraham. Without Isaac, everything goes down the drain. Everything that Abraham stood for. Bringing people to recognize God. Inviting people into your home, as she did with the angel.
Yeah.
Goodness and kindness was all going to go to the garbage. It was all going to go down the drain. And the balance sheet of life, if you think about it, can be misleading as well. There are illnesses, tragedies, loss of life, and wasted talents. And we wonder, if God is behind this, what could possibly be the point of all these losses? And, you know, everyone has that question. Why is this happening? Why me? And with the binding of Isaac, Avraham teaches us to faithfully march ahead. Focus on our goals and dreams. And in the end, we see that what looked like a loss is really an immeasurable profit. Because we see what happened. When he went in to bind Isaac, being faithful to God, not trying God and saying, why me, why this? Why should I be doing this? It's my only son. I waited so long. I'm not going to have any link to the future generations. But he did it. And what was the outcome? It was a test. God tested him, gave him that unthinkable challenge. But he passed it. And we see what happened afterwards. The nations and generations that follow. So sometimes in life, we see at this present moment, something is not going our way, something is terrible, God forbid, happening to us. But we have to understand, as hard as it is how we're supposed to march forward faithfully, knowing that God, there must be a reason why we don't understand the reason. The balance sheet makes no sense. There's so much losses on this. We're not talking about financially, we're talking about even in the family, spiritually, physically, whatever it may be.
Yeah, everyday life.
Exactly. But we have to be able to go past that, look forward. And with that, we'll realize that the loss is way outnumbered by the immeasurable profit that's going to happen in the future. That's what Avram teaches us. You know, imagine I go and ask someone, I want you now to go and sacrifice your only son that you waited so many years for. If I would be asked that, I would think twice and say, I don't know, is this something I can really do?
Yeah.
But this is what Avram taught us. And that's the beauty and the uniqueness of this historic portion, how Avram can really show us that sometimes things in life don't necessarily seem fair. You know, we tell our kids all the time, not everything in life is fair. I'm not saying that this is an easy test, but we have to look at how can we go beyond that test and be successful at the end.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is so important that we can apply to every single day of our lives.
That's nice. One more beautiful parasha from Bereshit.
Absolutely. You know, when I look through the parasha every week, and there are so many, you know, we can spend hours. There are so many stories on this Ristara portion, but, you know, you're trying to take something that can mean a lot, and I thought that was something that can speak to everyone's day-to-day life.
Yeah. And the services in Sharei Tzedek / Shamayim?
Services are Friday evening at, now we've moved the clock.
Yep.
We have evening services at 5 o'clock, and Shabbat morning is 9:30, and Sunday is 8:15, followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday as well is Minyan in the Parish House, the community Minyan. And, you know, we're just now started the preparations for our annual Hanukkah event at the Devonshire Mall, and this year, God willing, we are going to be doing a menorah made from toys, a toy menorah, toy drive.
Oh, that's nice.
And we'll let everyone know the details by our next interview. Everything
okay.
should be concrete, and the flyers should be out. And but mark your calendars; it will be the first Sunday, the first Tuesday. I'm sorry, the first night of Hanukkah, which I believe is December December 16th.
Okay.
In the mall, but next week we'll talk about it in more detail.
Okay. So I wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too, and have a wonderful week, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.